Live from the Motor City, Detroit, Michigan, it's the Camaro C28.com podcast with your host Chris Frezza and Jason Debler. Strap in. It's the Camaro C28.com podcast on the air.
And welcome back, everyone, for another exciting episode of the Camaro Z28.com podcast. I'm Chris.
And I'm Jason.
And we have a special guest in our studio this week, just like we told you we would.
Yep, that's right. That we do. This is going to cover episodes 93 and 94.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's also going to probably run about 15 or 20 minutes, a little longer than our normal episodes.
Sure, yeah.
So I have sitting here to my right, Mr. Micah Jones.
What's up, Chris? What's up, Jason? Glad to be here.
Micah, tell us why you're so special and why you're here.
Well, I was lead designer on the Camaro Concept Coupe and Convertible.
Sweet.
Very cool. Very cool. And what portions specifically?
Well, I was lead for the interior, which pretty much means I was responsible for, I guess, basically getting a lot of the parts designed and through to engineering and fabricated. And also on the first car of the coupe, I worked with another designer by the name of Julia Montuse. So he and I tag-teamed on it and nailed out a home run, I think.
Oh, man.
Well, we agree. Yeah. You did a terrific job.
One of the biggest standouts, I think, on the new Camaro concept is the interior.
I think so. Can you tell us when you started working on it?
Sure. We started working on the car in the spring of 2005.
Wow.
A lot sooner than people thought.
Yeah.
We had a lot of naysayers, uh-huh. And while they were saying nay or whatever it is they do, the gears were turning.
Right. Of course, the car came out in 2006. So when you think about, like, when we started in spring of 2005, that probably left only about 6 months of actual design time for the car, inside and out.
Because
the rest
quick.
Of that time is fabrication.
Wow. Yeah.
Very quick.
Wow. Man. you can never just, imagine what goes on behind the scenes.
Were they long hours, like weekends, 14, 15, 18 hours?
Yeah. Yeah, really? The weekends, the long nights, it went on and on. And by the 6 month, I was beginning to ask myself, is this really worth it? Because I always wanted to do a show car interior, and then here I found myself working on a show car interior. But, of course, it's the Camaro show car interior, so that just made it so much more special.
Oh, yeah.
And, when the car debuted at the auto show in Detroit, the whole fanfare and the whole event was just outrageous. I knew in that first second that it was all very well worth it.
And what had you worked on beforehand? That you can talk about.
Oh boy, it's not very impressive. I actually worked on a minivan project before the Camaro.
Sweet.
And the Cadillac SRX replacement.
Hey,
I worked on that for a little bit.
That's cool.
Yeah, I was in an advanced studio in Warren, Michigan, and we worked on all kinds of interesting pre-production cars as well as competing for concept car designs.
How'd you get involved in the project for the Camaro? Did someone just come up to you one day and say, "Hey, Micah, I want you to throw down some sketches for me and show me what you got"?
Oh, gosh. If only it was that simple. If it was that simple, the quality of design wouldn't be as good as it is from the process that we have. The process that we have for show cars is basically a competition.
I was just going to ask you that. Do you guys have like an internal competition?
Yeah. Very, very competitive. Everybody wants to win the design, no matter what kind of car it is, a production car, a show car.
Sure.
Geo Metro, Camaro, everybody wants to, put their hand in there. So it starts off as a competition, and we had the Advanced Studio in Michigan working for it, the Advanced Studio in California, and in UK, all putting together proposals for exterior and interior. So in the end, it came down to my design theme got picked by Ed Welburn, who's our big chief designer, VP of design, and Julia Montuse, who I mentioned before. He also had a really strong design. So in the end, we were tag team put together to work on the car together.
Excellent.
Did you know that it was going to, when you started working on it, did you know that it was going to become as big and as powerful as far as the buzz? Or did you just think, hey, this is the next Camaro and it could go anywhere, we'll see where it goes? Did you have any idea?
I really had no idea. I mean, relatively speaking. Because when we started working on it, I thought, wow, we're doing a Camaro concept. This is pretty big. Obviously, the car has been gone for a while. Obviously, there's a huge fan base of the Camaro. I thought, this is a pretty big deal. And at that time, it wasn't announced or really seriously considered to be a production car in the very beginning. So So yeah, I knew it was a big deal, but I had no idea it was this big of a deal. it was really when the photos of the clay exterior and one of my interior sketches got leaked out and just spread like a just spread so quickly.
We had those photos. We had to kind of stifle those as best we could, and everybody was angry at us.
Yeah,
because we kind of did our thing, but
everybody at GM just did a oh crap when we saw that.
Yeah, I did too. First thing I did is call Settlemyer, and he did his usual, what? I said, I'm not kidding, and he goes, I'll call you right back. Yeah. He had to go and
send out some black Suburbans.
A pack of cigarettes, and then. But it's pretty cool that. You know, that this being your first real major project, it was so well received.
Certainly, yeah. It just feels amazing, you know. Basically, my goal as a designer is to create something that people will like, something they'll enjoy. And, you know, having the opportunity to work in this Camaro and having it go over so well is just like the greatest feeling. I mean, it's exactly what I would hope to get on my career.
Have you signed any autographs?
I have.
Have you?
Yeah.
Get used to that.
Yeah. It's crazy. I'm just an average Joe. I just happen to sketch, you know.
Yeah. How long have you worked with GM, and what's your background in terms of design and stuff? Where'd you go to school?
Well, I've worked for GM for just about 3 years, so I'm relatively new. And considering that we started working on the Camaro in spring of 2005, that was only 6 months after I started there. But I happen to start there at the right time and the right place and produce the right work. So it was a bit of luck just to end up in the studio where we would be working on it, and then skill that obviously got me to win the design. But what an amazing stroke of luck to be placed in that studio. It was just perfect. And so I actually I grew up in Milwaukee, and then I came to Detroit for design school and graduated from college for creative studies. And then I worked for a tier one interior supplier for 5 years before I started at GM. So in the meantime, I was designing seats mainly, and I can draw a pretty mean seat, but I knew I could do a hell of a lot more than that. So I just felt like my career got back to where I wanted to be in a hurry. After working on the Camaro.
Yeah, well, I think you're going to be pretty set for a while anyway. anything else that you are working on that you can talk about right now?
Like what you just mentioned, I mean, working on the Camaro has really opened up a lot of opportunities, a lot of doors for me to work on some really dynamite projects, and it's just gave me a lot of exposure in the company. So I've been putting on some pretty great projects, which I'm on right now. I'm actually on a few really, really exciting projects that I can't talk about.
That's okay. We understand. You'll tell us later.
Yeah. Yeah. Who did the interior for the Volt?
That was a team of three designers, one design manager, Wade Bryant, and Therese Tant and Mathieu Beaumar.
Oh, okay.
Very, very contemporary interior, pretty far out.
Yeah.
A lot of people see Camaro in the Volt.
Mm. Exterior.
Yeah, exterior wise.
Yeah.
And I think that's good, you know?
Yeah.
The more the better.
Yeah, yeah. It definitely has a kind of a confident and a little bit aggressive look to it.
Going back to the interior, when you started working on that, where did you draw your inspiration from? What was, what said in your brain, I want to make this here into this car?
Mm-hmm. It all starts with the Camaro name and the legacy of the Camaro. So the most influential thing, of course, is its history. So, when we started the project, we did a lot of research and, looking at photos of old cars as well as the, a lot of actual original cars. As a matter of fact, our VP of design, Ed Welburn, has a 69, and so does Tom Peters, who was the director for the exterior. They both had their cars in the studio, so we got to crawl around them and really, experience them. And so basically, yeah, the past has a great amount of influence in what we did with this. And then we also looked at a lot of modern contemporary products, too, to get a lot of inspiration from them to get a much more modern feeling to the car. Because really, we didn't want to just do an old car.
Like a pure retro version.
Right. No, we didn't want to make it pure retro. We really wanted to strike the balance between something that people will recognize as Camaro and something that people will just recognize as just plain old cool. you know, want to cross that age gap there, and just make it universally appreciated. That's the goal, really.
Cool.
So when you sit down, do you sit down at a table? Do you sit down with a pen and a tablet? You know, what do you both? How do you generate it?
Well, from a distance, I look like a pretty typical cubicle worker. I work at a desk. I've got a computer in front of me. Uh-huh. I pull out the pen and paper. Usually, when I start a project, when I'm brainstorming a lot of ideas, I'll do a lot of writing, just writing down words to describe the kind of feeling that I'm after. And then I'll scratch up some loose sketches and just kind of sketch out some general design philosophies or concepts. And then I'll actually work those ideas on the computer, where I've got a big, giant, pressure-sensitive tablet that I use to sketch on with a little stylus pen. And then looking up at the computer and, you know, pretty much doing all my sketching digitally for the most part.
What kind of software do you use?
We use a software called Auto Studio, made by Autodesk. Mm-hmm. And it's pretty neat because it combines some 3D modeling programs with sketching, so you can really get the best of both and kind of switch back and forth.
That's cool. That's cool.
I never heard of that one.
Wonder how is it done? You know, is it the old huge table with the high architectural style stools and, you know, drawing, or people splattering paint on the walls, or how, like they did with the Buick? What was that, like, about 15-20 years ago? The Buick Sky, was it the Skylark? They had that funky front end on it.
Skyhawk?
Was it Skylark or Skyhawk? And it showed the guy that designed it, and he was just splattering paint all over the walls because it was the 80s, you know?
Yeah.
And you always kind of wonder how it goes, but it's pretty much a cube farm, and you just got a big old monitor. And
yeah, for the most part.
A lot of sketches. Yeah.
But what's really neat, though, is that every designer has their own way of working. You know, just like they have their own design style and their own ideas they want to put out there, they have their own way of working, too. So some people, you know, choose to work totally analog, you know, sketching pencil and vellum and markers and chalk and all that stuff, and they're standing up at a you know, architectural table. And some are just all digital. So it's kind of neat to see how everybody's, you know, preferences come through. Hmm. Whereas, as a matter of fact, Julian, the other designer, he has kind of an old school technique where he draws very small, super, super fine point pen sketches, and then he blows them up really big and then renders them in marker, then brings them in and scans them and works them in Photoshop and really punches them out. So he's got a very unique style that is really fresh.
Wow.
Are you a normal 9-to-5 type guy, or does designing, is that a round-the-clock type schedule?
Well, the work part of it's 9-to-5, especially 9-to-5 now that I've got a son. before the baby, man, this is kind of funny. My son was actually born 5 days after the coupe revealed in Detroit.
Oh.
So here, you know, I'm working a ton of hours trying to get this car done, and my pregnant wife is at home.
Oh,
and,
man.
And I kept on thinking, boy, that kid better not be born before the car comes out.
Oh, you're in trouble.
Big trouble. But it was really, you know, the best week of my life ever. You know, the car coming out and then having my son, you know, less than a week later, it was fantastic.
Oh, wow.
So I don't put in the long hours I used to, because family life is more important.
Sure. Yeah, you're going to see that firsthand soon.
I guess.
My son's 11, so, you know, he can go off on his own. I don't care anymore. He does what he wants. I go to work, and he goes and plays, you know, rides his bike or plays his Xbox 360 and Forza, because we're all hooked on that, except the wife. She doesn't care.
I've got to get that. I hear it's awesome.
Oh, it is. It's incredible.
Yeah.
It's incredible.
So were you a Camaro fan before you started this project?
Yes. Yeah. Yeah.
And definitely. Do you own a Camaro?
I don't own a Camaro now.
Oh, get out. You're out.
Nor have I ever.
Oh, you're banned.
But I will. And that's, you know, the greatest thing about working on this car is that I got to work on a car that's a truly desirable product. And so, you know, when I'm designing it, I'm always thinking, you know, what kind of car would I really want? And so, you know, keeping that in mind and keeping in mind the customer's wishes and my boss's wishes, all that kind of stuff. The end result is definitely something that I really want and desire now. And that's really a rare thing for designers to say, because we work on a lot of random projects, from SUVs to small cars. And not saying they're not exciting, but not as exciting as a, you know, fifth generation Camaro. It's a very emotional car. So
no kidding.
Very much so.
I mean, I just can't imagine, you know, being able to design something, you know, that's going to be in a mass production that you can buy, you know, and it's kind of like, you know, your own personalization, you know, that's going to be mass produced.
Yeah. And that gets back to my basic goal of designing. I just want to design something people appreciate. And so now I can't wait to see the car on the road and seeing other people in them and wanting to own them. And I can't wait to see what people are going to do with them, how they're going to customize them and fix them up, because the whole, you know, self-expression aspect of car ownership is really exciting too, even from an outside standpoint.
So one day you're going to be driving your new Camaro, and how are you not going to be able to think every time you get in or out or just throughout the driving experience is like, hey, this is all me.
Yeah. That's mine.
I did it the way I want to do it, and and now everybody else has to do it the way I wanted to do it too. That's a phenomenal feat.
Yeah, it's a phenomenal feat. But on that note, I mean, I've really got to give props to the whole team. It's not like I just threw out this vision through a sketch and it got made. I mean, there's a whole panel of people who guide the design along the way. You know, the initial design comes from the designer, like myself, but it gets steered along the way, and really, really important decisions get made by design management. I'm like Ed Welburn. You know, he made the decision, is this thing going to be super retro-looking or really far out, really futuristic? So those are major key decisions that somebody other than me has to make. So in the end, I'm just really lucky that my design kind of struck that right balance.
Mm-hmm.
And then even, you know, there's the team, there's a whole production team in Melbourne, Australia, Holden, that's really responsible for doing the production version for the Camaro. So I have to give a lot of props to them, too. They've done a dynamite job. The production car is so close to the concept, because they're fighting for against all the criteria that makes their jobs difficult. You know, they want the car to look really good, and you're just fighting for design, because, you know, design is such an emotional thing that you don't want to compromise the design too much for functional needs, because, you know, the emotional impact is so important, and more now than ever.
Exactly. So you must work pretty close with engineers then.
Oh, yeah.
For this building. I mean, does there ever come to the point where you have this idea, this vision, and you put it on paper, and then the engineer comes and says, dude, what are you thinking? We can't do this.
Yes.
Is there a lot of give and take with that there?
There is. There's a lot of give and take. And you know, there's a lot of creative problem solving. You know, sometimes the engineers will help kind of modify the design to be more feasible. And a lot of times designers will actually kind of give some recommendations on how we can possibly achieve what we're after. So there's a lot of give and take.
Yeah, I can imagine that. It's probably a frustrating experience too.
It can be, for sure.
Were there a lot of trial and error revisions when it came to your design, or was it because it's purely conceptual, it just kind of went and they liked it? Or did you have to go back and forth and back and forth and massage and change and alter and?
Not really. I mean, no. We were really lucky with this car that our concept car was basically our proof of concept, where, you know, we made this car as our vision and the public liked it and it got good praise. So the mandate was basically build this car. There was no more going back to the drawing board and adjusting things or doing any kind of major redos, both interior and exterior. So the goal was execute that car. And that's where some of the engineering challenges come in, where there's some things that are kind of difficult to do, but like I said, the designers at Holden have done a great job, you know, fighting the good fight.
That's good.
That's cool.
That's good. Well, I think we got to wrap this one up.
Yep.
But we'll be back next week. We're going to talk to Mike a little bit more. We're going to talk about a few things, like, you know, what it felt like to be awarded, you know, for them to come up and say, hey, guess what? Your design made it. We're going to talk a little bit about the controversial aspect of the interior, what a lot of people are concerned with.
Sure.
That maybe you can at least shed a little bit of light on or how they made it into the concept. And maybe a little bit as to what it was like working hand-in-hand with the exterior guys.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess that's going to wrap it up for
week. Stay tuned.
Next week. You better
for
be listening.
Part 2.
Number 94 is going to be more continuation with Micah Jones. What is your official title?
Lead Creative Designer.
Sounds kick-ass.
Yeah.
We will see you next week.
Yep.
Take care.
Thanks for listening to the Camaro Z28.com podcast. If you have questions or comments for Chris and Jason, call our voicemail hotline, 586-486-3182. Or send your comments by email, webmasters@CamaroZ28.com. Once again, thank you for listening to Camaro Z28.com podcast. We'll see you next week.